now for several months. It's a joke, by the way. But the time before the last, I think we had the women. I keep hearing comments about the women. So obviously they really did well. Not so many comments about the guys last week. We as a church now need to buy a new pair of glasses for someone. They did well too, that's right. But the guys did well, and especially with the guys last week, it was actually Ben Claxton right at the end, and remember he talked about teams? He talked about us being a team, do you remember that? And then he talked about the team elsewhere. And so I had something else that I was going to do this week, but I was so sort of impressed by the guys last week and their whole notion of team that I thought I'd pick up on it this week. And so I've got something different now that I feel to share, sitting in with the theme of team, okay? So if you have your Bibles, could we go to Romans chapter 16? There are Bibles here, by the way, Dave Barr. There we go. Anybody else need a Bible? Please do not take them home with you. A curse will come upon you. If you leave it here, you will shall receive a blessing. That's Deuteronomy. It's true. Here we go. Romans chapter 16. Okay, now I'm reading from a version on my iPad, which will be slightly different from yours, but that's okay. iPads are better. It goes like this. Now, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, verse 1, a servant of the church at... Yes. How would you say that? Thank you. I believe you. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a... What does it say in your version? Actually, the real, this is where this is closer, is patron. I'm not thinking Godfather here, but patron of many and of myself as well. And I'll explain that later. And then it says, now this is, goodness me. Here we go with the names. Now, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Ephanetus. Is that how you say it? Ephanetus. Who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary. Got that one right. Who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet. We should say these together. And Philetus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet. Oh, this is a no-brainer. Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved. Thank you. Greet. Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus, which we get our narcissism. Yes? Oh, that's probably a bit too deep. Greet those workers in the Lord, Typhonia, Typhosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet, oh, we got that one, Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me. Greet, oh, there's a good one. Actually, let's say the following names together on my count. 1, 2, 3, greet. You went Pentecostal just then. That's very good. Sounded like tongues. And the brothers who were with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, and his sister. And that's a good, get this one, Olympus, and all the saints who were with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And by the way, just to make sure that this passages, you know, in sync with what is currently happening in our country. I have a photo here. Turn the lights down. I think it's these two rugby players, Liz. Have we got it? Yeah, there you are. There we have a rugby kiss. We have a holy kiss in Scripture. So I'm just making, you know, connections with what's currently going on. So, and then it says, and all the churches greet you. Now that's our passage this morning, okay? Let's pray. Just lift the lights a little bit. That'd be cool. You are our teacher. You are present. Your spirit hovers over us. And your amazing spirit who is near can whisper into our ears. May we hear your whispers for our lives, for our week, in your good name. Amen. Amen. Okay, friends. Who here likes October? Show of hands. Who here likes October? I love October. One of the reasons why October is one of my favorite months is because spring is here. Yes? Christmas is near. Yes? Yes. And also you can smell the holiday break. Yes? Okay. I love October. But there's another reason why I like October. It's because, now you won't like this, but that's your problem. It's just that in October, I like, it's just Cam's on call, so I hope it's all right for you, Cam. One of the reasons why I like October is that in the month of October, what I do, I don't know if you do this, is that I indulge in strategic planning, strategic thinking, strategic mapping. Does anybody else do this in October? No, I suspected not. That's why I chose to give this message. So, and you're probably thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Because you see, if I don't do strategic thinking, planning, mapping in October for next year, I know I'll never get round to it. Because you know what it's like. In November, what do? We're rushing through our list for the year. Yes? In December, we can't wait to get to the end of the year. Yes? In January, we're trying to forget the year. Is that right? And then in February, we begin the new year. In other words, if you don't get to your strategic planning, thinking, mapping in October, you never get to it. So this month, I do some strategic thinking, mapping, planning for my life. For next year. And you're thinking, boy, what would you plan, think, and map in October for next year? Was that your question? Or have you already phased out and gone elsewhere? What would you think, plan, and map for this month, for next year? Tell the person next to you. Okay, here we go. Have you got an idea? Honestly, this is what I do. Now, I think there's a clue in that passage on what I think there's a clue on what to think, map, and plan now for next year. Now, we read that long passage out, Romans chapter 16, and there was one word there that was mentioned 17 times. And it just came out towards you, pun intended. What was the word? Greet. Now, the word greet in Greek The word greet in Greek is not, oh, g'day. The word greet in Greek is, how are ya? The word greet in Greek is not, oh, let me shake your hand. I need a volunteer. Up here. Thanks, Dave. Just relax. That's right. I want to now embody and demonstrate what the word greet in Greek is. Would you come closer? And would you just relax? I'll just embody it now. Stay. Thanks, Dave. You won't wash now for a week. Okay. The word actually in Greek for greet is the word hug. It is the word embrace. More specifically, it is the word wrap your arms around. That's what it means. And so what Paul is saying in this passage, he's saying, these people, every time I meet them, I just hug them. I just wrap my arms around them. I mean, he is absolutely wrapped with these people. Okay? Now, you've got to stick with me this morning. These people, do you get it? And he's telling the people in the church at Rome, you do likewise. When you meet these people, you just hug them. The word in Māori is āwhi. Māori speaker, we got Tereo here. Anyone with Tereo? The word in Māori is āwhi, which means just wrap yourself around them. Now, is that right? Āwhi mai. But you can say āwhi? Yeah. So it's āwhi mai. And does it have that meaning? Yes. Thank you. So this is what Paul is getting at here, okay? Now, to put this in context, we've got to put all of this in context. What is really Paul doing here? Okay? How many people here love to watch the Academy Awards? Now, Lord, may these people be blessed with honesty this morning. I'll re-put the question. How many people here do watch the Academy Awards? You know when they give out Oscars? Oh my goodness. I'm one of the few. Okay. How many here will watch the Helberg Sports Awards? Oh my goodness. Now, how many here watch TV? How many here watch Coronation Street? Lord, let's have a prayer time now. When it comes to the awards ceremonies, people, there are a number of common things in an awards ceremony, okay? One, there are awards. Two, like there are Oscars here and the Helbergs here. Two, people who win an award, they come up front, yes? And then thirdly, what do those people then do? Once they receive their award, no matter what the award ceremony is, what do people do? They thank. They give speeches. Okay. Now, did you know with the Academy Awards, the longest speech that was ever given when a person received the Oscar was 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Someone got, this was in 1942, so some of you will remember this. 1942, someone, I think her name was Greer Garson. Do you remember that? You guys are doing well in the front row. And she received, and she gave a 5 minute, 30 second speech award. Here's the thing though, she gave it at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so after that, they decided to change the rules, and they put a time limit on how long a person could give their speech. In 1947, 5 years later, an actress by the name of Olivia de Havilland, I can remember that. Anybody else? Oh, a few hands. Olivia de Havilland, she got up to give her award for being award for being the actress. She listed off 27 names in her acceptance speech. Now here's the thing, people. In Romans chapter 16, Paul listed off 26 names. 26. And 24 of them were actually mentioned by name. And 16 of them had a special reference made to what they had done. Okay? So what is Paul doing here? He is saying, these are my people. These people have helped me to become who I've become. Did you get that? And he lists a number of people. And he lists, for example, Phoebe. And Phoebe, as I said before, Paul said of Phoebe, she's a patron. A patron. Do you know what that means? She had the gift of hospitality. That's what it actually means. And isn't it neat, you know, when you have people in your life and you think, man, I love going to their place. I can just put my feet up and crash and just be who I am. Have you got those people? You know, I got to Friday night. Ruby's in Christchurch. So I got to Friday night and it was 8 o'clock. And I thought, man, I just want to go to some people's place and just put my feet up and just be who I am. And I thought, who do I go to? And I thought, there's a couple in this church. I got in my little 1300cc Nana car and zoomed off to their place and knocked on the door uninvited and just waltzed in. And they had guests. And they said, oh, Mac, no problems, come on in, you know. And I just sat there and I could put my feet up and you know what I mean? That's Phoebe. Paul had Phoebe. And then you go through this list that Paul mentions. And what else does it say? He said, and I want to really say, you know, this couple, you know, they risked their lives for me. Have you ever had someone who's risked their lives for you? I've had someone who risked a lot for me. Some of you have heard this, you know. In 1976, I mean, that's going way back. But in 1976, I came out of the hippie drug counterculture. Now, I wish I'd kept photos. Because you see the beautiful person I now am. But I wish I had a photo of what I looked like in 1976. I looked, smelt like a dead dog. Now, honestly, have you ever seen a dead dog? It's not an attractive sight. And I looked and smelt like a dead dog. And then I started going to this church, in Christchurch. And I was a newbie, a new follower of Jesus. And the elders one day, they asked to have a talk to me. And so I rocked up to the elders. And they said, what do you feel you want to do with your life? And I said to the elders, I want to be a speaker. I feel as though God is telling me that I'm to be a speaker. And they looked at me. Because I had hair down here, scraggly beard. I was barefooted, had holes in my jeans. You know, I smelled terribly. And when people talked to me, my eyes were like a dead dog, you know? I mean, and some of you are thinking not too much has changed. It was just terrible. And I gave this, I said, I feel God is going to use me to speak around the world. Now, you've got to put it in context. I looked and smelled terrible. And do you know the rest of the elders? They gave me a hard time. One of them said, do you think you're the fourth member of the Trinity? That's terrible. Another elder said, who the heck do you think you are? I mean, they put the... I went back to the flat that I was staying in. I burst into tears. I just cried. They gave me a hard time. But the pastor, he could see something in me. And so he decided to take me on. And he risked a lot for me. Do you know every time I see him, I wrap my arms around him. Every time. He's on my list. And then there are other people, family members. Paul actually members family members in his list. That he is who he is because of certain family members. And then Paul also mentions people that he's really fond of. And there's a couple here visiting this morning. And they're from elsewhere. And they're friends of mine. And I'm really fond of them. Now I have affection for them. It's not that they do anything for me or I do anything for them. It's just that when I first met this couple, I don't know, I just liked them. There's Brian and Jenny just over there. And they're just visiting and they're going to have lunch with me. I just love these people. I'm just really deeply fond of them. And then Paul goes on in his list and he says, oh, and there's Rufus. You know that passage about Rufus? And then he said about Rufus and his mother. And then he says, oh, and she's been like a mother to me. Do you know when I was in Christchurch in this church, there was an older woman there. And she became like my second mother. I mean, I was really not good. And so she started inviting me for dinner regularly. And then after a while, she knew I lived in a dirty place. So she said, you can come and stay with me in the weekends. And she became like a mother to me. And when I see her, I hug her. She's on my list. She also had a daughter. I grabbed the daughter too. And it was her daughter. And now my relationship with the mother has changed. But we still hug. Something about mother-in-laws. Anyway, that's another topic. In other words, Paul is saying in this passage, these people I hug. I am who I am because of these people. Now I've got to bring this to an end. You see, people, listen. All of us in this room, we have friends. And all of us in this room, we have acquaintances. And all of us in this room, we have workmates. And all of these people, they pass in and they pass out of our lives. Yes? And Paul is saying, with these 26, he's saying, these are more than friends. They're more than acquaintances. They're more than colleagues who pass in and out of my life. He is saying, these are the VIPs of my relational world. He is saying that these are the people who have made me who I am. And you see, tonight, all of us in this room, hopefully, will be watching the game. And if you're not watching tonight, you need prayer. Hopefully, all of us tonight are watching this game tonight. And we'll I mean, I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to seeing how Graham Henry's team goes tonight. Yes? So that's tonight. But this morning, I want you to get fired up about another team, your team. Your team of 26, or 10, or 15, that you are forming this month for next year. The kind of team that if you surround yourself with those people, you'll make progress next year. You'll grow next year. You'll be a different person next year. You will do things next year that you have never done before. And you too will end up with people that you honor. And they'll be in your honor roll. So this month of October, I am already writing down names of people that I need next year. You see, I need people next year who will love me. I need people next year who I'll be fond of as friends. I'll need people next year who will look out for my back. I'll need people next year who won't break me, but they'll make me. I'll need people next year who will be truth tellers in my life, and they'll point the finger at me, and they'll say the hard things to me. I need those people next year. I need people next year who are experts in what I do, but they know more than me. I need people next year I can go to their place and just crash. Enjoy a glass of wine or something. Put my feet up. I need those people. I need my team next year. So do you know what I do in October? I pick my team for next year. Because I want to make progress next year. I want to grow. And the tragedy is, so many people in our world, and they surround themselves with insanely crazy people who hurt them and tear them down and break them. And the tragedy is in churches that we don't pick a personal life development team. Don't you want to make progress next year in your life? Don't you want to be more than who you are this year? I do. I mean, I kind of think that maybe this year I've been maybe 7 out of 10. Don't you give me a lower mark. But I would love next year to be 8. And you see, when I came to know Jesus, and with this I'm done, Jesus, he helped me to see that he's alive today, that he rose from the dead. It's absolutely brilliant that he's alive and he walks and he talks and he's so powerful and so loving and affectionate, and he has done much in my life and in many lives here in this room. He has done much. But this I have learned to finish, that Jesus will not do everything. And sometimes he takes a step back. And why does he take a step back? Because he wants us to depend upon other people. Because when we depend upon other people, community is built. And so this month in October, I am naming the list of people who I need to depend upon next year. My personal life development team. Did you like that? I tell you, it's the secret of success. That's good. Tell the person next to you what you thought of all of that rant and rave. Go to her.